All right, fellas, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 20 again today. We'll finish up this psalm. I've been doing my best to follow the leadership of God through the book of Psalms each Sunday. And started out taking one a week, and then we just kind of, from there, trying to follow the Lord as we look through these. And intend by His help to go all the way through them to Psalm 150. I don't know how long that'll take us. But we're going to continue through them by the help of God. Now, we'll read the entire psalm again today, all right, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." I probably won't get to this, but I thought that was an amazing thing there, that God would hear through His hand. Read it. He will hear from heaven. He will hear Him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. That's an amazing statement. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Father, help us now just a few moments this morning and work in our hearts to bring glory to Thee. I pray, Lord, that You'll instill Thy Word into us, that we might bring forth everlasting fruit to God, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Give grace. I pray that You'll speak, minister to every need and every heart, and help us to glorify You this morning in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, if you remember, fellas, last week we began this psalm, and we looked there for a little while at David's trouble. He said in verse number 1 there that the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And so we tried our best to help you a little while last week as we looked at David's trouble. Now, this morning, we want to look on the other side of the coin. You need to keep that in mind. There's two sides to every coin. And life has two sides. It does have trouble, but I'm glad that it has victory as well and has triumph. And so today, I want to look for a little while at David's triumph. Now, Brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and you need to get a hold of this statement. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Now, he did not say some of the time. Neither did he say part of the time. Some ways, but in all ways, he causes us to triumph in Christ. And that is true, gentlemen, that we always have victory in Him. But I'm afraid that many times we fail to recognize the victory when it comes to us. If our victory many times, or our triumphs in Christ many times, if they do not exactly agree with our wishes or the desires of our heart, we will feel as if we failed or that God has failed us. May I say that all things work together for our good to those of us who are love God and are the called according to God's purpose. And although we may not recognize a victory in our life when it comes, it is a victory and a triumph for us nonetheless. You know, if you'll read Acts number 16, I'm not going to stay on this for a minute now, but in Acts chapter number 16, when Paul was there waiting upon God, and that there's two or three different places that Paul tried to go into and preach. And one of those places was Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered not Paul to go there. And I've just wondered many times when Paul, you know, he said, and I'm sure he was praying, Lord, let me go there and preach. And God said, no, you can't go there. And I wonder if Paul may have felt like that he had failed in his ministry by not being allowed to go into Bithynia and preach the word. Not just a little while after that, God sent him the Macedonian call and he went into Macedonia and preached the word of God. Now somebody said, what about Bithynia? Gentlemen, if you read in Peter's writing, you'll find where Peter wrote his epistle to those that were in Bithynia. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that God always causes us to triumph in Christ one way or another, whether it's our will or not, whether it's the desire that we have or not. God always causes us to triumph because everything that happens in our life is there for our good and the glory of God, and God is working out His plan and His purpose in our life. All right? Now, let me just... we want to depart from that. Just keep in mind, fellas, that in this psalm is sung on behalf of the king who is about to go forth to war against his enemies. And there are enemies of the Lord. Paul said there are enemies of the cross whose God is their belly. And simply their own desires, their wants, their wishes, and their will. There are enemies of the cross. There's false prophets. There's the world and the flesh and the devil and false prophets and all that are enemies of the Lord. And this psalm was sung as the king prepared to go out against his enemies. And as the king stands within the sanctuary offering his sacrifice, we saw that last week, the whole assembly crowd of worshipers in that court lift up their voice in prayer that Jehovah would graciously accept the sacrifice and send them help in the day of battle. We saw that last week in our lesson. Now, as we begin the lesson this morning, I want you to notice verse number 5. And that's really the verse that I want to take our thought from this morning and try to draw some things from there that I believe will be an encouragement to us as God's child as we face the battles of this life. Amen. And then watch God gloriously triumph for us by His power. Notice verse 5, he said, "For we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners." Now, there's what I want to talk to you on for a little while this morning, is about those banners. He said, we will set up our banners in the name of our God. Now, keeping in mind the theme of the psalm, let's remember that in the military, and any of you fellas that's been in the military, know and understand quite well what I'm getting ready to say. But in the military, the banners that are used are really part of our regular equipment. And they're there. They use those banners, those guidons, those flags that they use. They use them for several different reasons. May I say, as a soldier of the cross, gentlemen, that we have got a banner. Oh, yes, we have got a banner. I believe the songwriter said, let us rally round the banner of the cross. We've got a banner, gentlemen. And it ought to lead the way for us into every battle. Holding the blood-stained banner of the cross high. Now, I want to say a few things about that banner this morning. That's ours. The old banner of the cross. The banner for military troops are used in many different ways. One of those ways is that it's used to assemble the troops. When I was in the military, I always knew, especially when I was in basic training, I was in good old F-93 at Fort Knox. And we had our own flag, our own banner. And I didn't go off to one of the other companies and assemble there. But I assembled, I looked for that guidon, that banner. And I assembled around old F-93. And gentlemen, I'd like to say this morning on behalf of our gloriously Redeemer that our banner is the cross. Yes, sir. And by God's grace, we need to assemble around the cross. Somebody said, what do? We come to the church house, Brother Hall. We assemble around the cross. Now, hey, those military banners had colors, gentlemen. And those colors had a significant importance. They always represented something. I mean, each color represented or pertained to something about that particular group that it represented. Our banner, when I was in Vietnam, I was with 2nd Battalion, 7th Cavalry of the 1st Air Cav Division. Our patch was yellow, and don't tell me it represented because we were yellow bellies either, bless God. No, sir. But I couldn't help but to think this morning about the banner that God has given for us. This old banner right here, gentlemen, represents the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And by God's help, I hope it'll stand up here because I want to use it. Hey, that thing right there represents something, gentlemen.
Amen.
I thank God for the good old red, white, and blue American flag. But I'm telling you, that flag represents something. Hey, there's what we ought to assemble around the house of God this morning. Notice the colors on it. Somebody said, what are they? Notice the cross representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, sir. You see, we can assemble around the blood and nothing else. No, sir. No, sir, buddy. I'll tell you. That represents the shed blood of Christ.
Yes.
That white represents the righteousness of the Son of God.
Yes.
That blue represents His royalty as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew no sin. He was a King of glory. He had no sin. He came to earth to shed His precious blood for you and I by the good grace of God. And I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, we need to come together and rally around the cross. That ought to be the focus of our assembly and church today. I'll never forget, I was in Bible college, Brother Elliott. Old Doc Steiner got up preaching one day, and he said, I preached a revival meeting last week, said, for a young preacher. He said, you'll have to forgive the young man, he'll learn better. But he said, when I got done preaching that morning, he told his church, said, I'm going to preach the next 52 weeks on the home. That's a whole lot of preaching on the home for a young man. But he said, I'm going to preach 52 weeks on the home. Doc Sotler said, that may be a tad bit too much preaching for a young man like that on the home. And he said, but I'll be honest, I would hate to depart from the cross that long. Oh yes, he said, I want to bring our church around the cross. Gentlemen, there is nothing that will move us, stir us, and bless us as the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that have been there and been born again, it is the power of God. Mark her down. Thank God. Yes. Amen. And I hope you've not come here this morning and your wives into the assembly of the redeemed to pridefully boast of our glorious apparel that we wear, or to boast of our worldly possessions that we gain, or even to brag about our own popularity or our own power or our beauty and charm. Oh no, we have come this morning, my friend, to glorify the Son of God and to rally around the cross. Hey, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said that on those military guidons, that they all had streamers. Now, this is just a little frill, but here's a couple of little streamers. And he said that all those little streamers represented something just like the colors did. Now, he didn't say that about the colors. I threw that in.
But we said there's the blood, there's the righteousness, and there's the royalty. But these little banners, why, we might call one of them the grace of God. We might call one of them the love of God. But we might have another and call it the mercy of God. Why, we might have another and call it everlasting life. Or Prince. Oh, yes. I'm saying the streamers of that flag represented something. And gentlemen, we can use that flag this morning to assemble around at the house of God. That is our rallying point. Oh, yeah, I'm going to waver high. Now, I don't want to get too carried away. I want to give Brother Smith plenty of time this morning. But I want to move on. Now, that banner not only was used to assemble the troops, but it was used, my friend, to direct the march of the people of God. You were a platoon leader, right, or a platoon sergeant, wasn't you, Brother Steve? And at Fort Knox, I don't know how you gentlemen did it then, but I come out of the old school. And we always had a guide-on bearer. Y'all have him or not? That guide-on bearer was first in the rank, gentlemen. He wasn't the very first in the rank. And he carried that banner that represented the troops that was following behind. Okay? That's right. And we never went on a march that what that man was not in the front of the assembly, in the front of the march, leading the way, and us troops behind him marching gloriously to the tune of the drummer's beat and singing some songs back I would rather not sing to you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. But they had the guide on, or the banner, and they had a guide on bearer. He was the man that carried the flag. May I say to you that we've got them both? We've got the banner of the cross. And we've got the bearer of the cross. Oh yes, he is leading the march. Do you not remember what he was in Hebrews chapter number 2? The Bible said that he is the captain of our salvation. He is the bearer of the banner. The banner being the cross, he bears that cross, leading us into every battle. And gentlemen, how can we fail in battle if the Son of God has first picked up his cross and leads the way upward into victory? That encourages my heart to get in line, to fall in file, and march on gloriously unto victory by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's right. It directs our march. That guide-on bearer, Jesus, he bears the banner and he leads the way.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, men get out of sorts. Men have problems, gentlemen, when they fail to follow the guide-on bearer. Wouldn't it have been crazy in basic training if that guide-on would have headed up Agony Hill? And it did. And old Brother Hall had got the thought, well, you know, there's a shortcut. Instead of going over the mountain, I'll just go around it. I want to say to you, gentlemen, it's much easier going over the mountain if the guide on bear is leading the way than it is going around the mountain without it. They may be some obstacles around that mountain so you don't know anything about. You head around that mountain, you might come up on a great ravine that there's no way to cross it.
Amen.
Or you may come up on an enemy around there you had no idea was waiting around there for you.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying this. No matter if the way is rough and rocky, I'll tell you, his way is yet the best way, the safest way, and the most joyous way is God's way. Hallelujah, God. I know that's right. Now, I've got several of these to mention. I'm going to have to move on. Now, I've alluded to this, but I want to bring it out more clearly to you, okay? So just hang on. That banner, that military banner, also was to distinguish the soldier and his camp from the enemy.
Amen.
Y'all hear what I said? It distinguished the soldier and the camp from his enemy. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying this. Gentlemen, I want my colors to be perfectly clear.
Amen.
Ah, yes. Now, we might just be getting ready to get down a little bit.
Amen.
I don't want anybody out there to have to guess whose side I'm on. Sir, my colors are set. Yes, sir. I heard old Brother Raines again this morning. I had to say amen.
Amen.
That's right, fellas. Hey, I want to look right, dress right, spit white.
Amen.
So a fella come around us coming up the parkway yesterday, I believe it was when you was an odd brother, man, and driving a big Lexus, just a young fella. And he had a hairdo. I never seen nothing like it in my life. And he lifted up a cup, and I thought, well, he'd drink, get him a drink of coffee, but he didn't drink it. I said, the egg sucker's a dipping snuff. If I'm going to put that nasty stuff in my mouth, I'd be a man and put tobacco in there. When I was a boy growing up, Grandma dipped snuff. Grandpa chewed backer. What? Hey, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that when we set up camp when I was a trooper in Vietnam, we took that guide on with that banner on it that represented the battalion and the platoon and the company that we were in, and set them right in the midst of that company to distinguish us from all other companies and from the enemy that was out there. And bless your heart, you and I ought to distinguish ourselves from the enemy. We don't, hey, nobody ought to have to guess whether we are Christian or not. Bless our hearts. Yeah. We roll up into the shopping mall and we've got the two-back shaker and all that crowd of hoop-papa, 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 hoop-papa on the radio. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, we got black around here. We don't listen to him. No, you may not listen to him, but what about old Tammy Wynott?
Yeah.
Huh? As Brother Smith says, what about Barth Brooks?
Right.
Huh? Hey, gentlemen, I want to know how to possess my vessel as becometh a saint of God. And this is your sanctification. That you abstain from fornication. That every one of you know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and in honor. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And let our banner fly high. That the enemy and those in camp will have no problem recognizing what side we're on. Can I just give you a little illustration? It just about made me sick. It about made me sick. We went to pick up Brother Smith out of doctor's appointment at the hospital in Nashville Friday. And we was there about all day, and we just spent the night and picked up Brother Smith at 10 o'clock the next morning at the airport down there yesterday. And we got to the little motel, the Days Inn Motel, out from the airport. And we pulled up. There was a new Mercury marquee sitting there in one of the parking places. And it had a sign on it that said, Jesus Christ is the answer. I looked at it. I walked around and looked in the back of it. But the light said, I wonder where he's from. Blood County. And so I just went on to the room, and the next morning I came down to get my cup of coffee on Saturday morning, down the lobby to get my coffee, and I noticed a woman getting into the car. She's already in it, so I didn't say nothing, you know. I walked on around, there was a gentleman just paying, and I got my coffee and this awesome orange juice, a donut, walked back to the door, and that fellow was just getting the door, and he opened the door for me. And I said, thank you, sir, appreciate that. And he said, you're welcome. Well, they headed to that red car. And I said, pardon me. I said, I couldn't help but to notice the license plate on the front of your car. I said, it surely is a blessing to be out in public and meet up with other folks that love God, folks that's been saved. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I like to put that on there. He said, that's a little testimony for the Lord anyway. He said, that's a little small thing that we can do for a witness. And I said, then you're telling me you're a saved man? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm a Christian and my girlfriend too. Huh? Give me a break. A man just sacked up all night with a woman in a motel room, and him and her both are Christians? Give me a break, gentlemen. Let every one of you abstain from fornication, which is the will of God, that you know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Gentlemen, I want my colors to be clear. I want men to know what side of the fence I'm on, whose camp I'm in, who I'm a standing for, what I'm a preaching for. I want them to know that I'm living right without having to put some little stupid sign on my face. I want my life to bear out that I'm for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Old Joshua made it clear when he drew that line. Said, gentlemen, said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I tell you, gentlemen, I'm going with God. If my banner is not raised high enough, let me know. I want to hoist her on the mainsail. If you know what that is, get you a book and read a little while. I want to put her up high. You know, those old pirate vessels used to sail the seven seas, and they had a banner of a crossbones and a skull on top of it. Didn't have any problem recognizing they were pirates and thieves, but the ships of England and France flew the colors of their country. Gentlemen, I want to fly the colors of my country. Hallelujah to God. I'm a citizen of a heavenly country, and I want folks to know that my citizenship's over yonder and not in the world. And I'm not a dancer to the tune of the devil's music. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, liberated by the power of God, set free in the Son, and set me free. I'm free indeed. Glory to God. No, that's right.
Amen.
Amen. We'll have to move on now. All right. Those banners, they were used to assemble the troops. They were used to direct the march. They were used to distinguish the soldier and his camp from the enemy. But they were also used to encourage the troops.
Right. Amen.
As I watched that guidon bearer carry that banner up Agony Hill, I kept saying in my own heart, Lord, if he can make it, I can make it. And if he'll keep that flag a waving, Brother Hall, keep putting one foot in front of the other one, and I'll make it too.
Amen.
As I sat down last night and was trying to pin these few little old thoughts down, I could not help but think of Francis Scott Key during the Revolution. And by the way, we sat at Fort Sumter, Miss Hall and I, not long ago. Well, me and Miss Hall and Angie and Ben, really a year ago when we was at Brother Willie Walton's a year ago in October to camp meeting. We come back and sat at Fort Sumter and sat down in a room in there. And they gave a speech and showed a little old slide picture, just slides just on a big white wall of how the Star Spangled Banner was written, and give into detail how the British troops had come into the channel and how that they had besieged Fort Sumter and some of the other places in the area. And it went into detail how that old Francis Scott Key was wondering. I mean, he was a patriot. Is our troops, are they still holding the fort? Are we still the home of the free and the brave? And buddy, I'll tell you what, the adrenaline began to raise up in me, and it come to the end of that, and it said there, when the sun begin to rise the next morning, Francis Scott Key looked out over the horizon and saw the old Star Spangled Banner, the flag, yes sir, with the 13 stars on it and the stripes on it, still a-waving over the fort. And it said old Francis Scott Key got so beside himself that he sat down and pinned the Star Spangled Banner that turned out to be our national anthem. And suddenly, jump over on the side over a big window, they begin to play. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? I looked out at Fort Sumter and there it was, not an imitation, boys, but a giant flag, a good old American flag, a-waving on that tent pole. I'm telling you, my patriotism rose up on the back of my neck and I said, hallelujah to God. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm an American. I tell you, Bill Clinton may be president, but I'm still an American. Son of God may be in the land, but I'm still an American. Amen. Lesbian may be in the land. I'm still an American. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I'm an American. But I'll tell you another thought come to me. Buddy, when I saw that flag a-waving, and I thought to my own self, Lord, if I can have that kind of patriotism toward an earthly flag, how much more dedicated should I be to the blood-stained banner of the old rugged cross, to the cross, to the cross, where I first saw the light, where the burdens of my heart were thrown away? What are you saying? I'm saying, gentlemen, that we ought to be dedicated to the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
Son, it encourages me, fellas.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
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 Amen. The stinking communists won't let us salute the flag in the schools anymore. Won't let us pray to the God of heaven anymore. Amen. I'm not so sure there won't be another rebellion. I wouldn't mind at all take up my M16. But I said, I don't like that. You don't have to like it.
Amen.
I'm sick of sodomites and queers.
Yeah. Amen.
Put this on record. Miss Ruth, make sure you put this in the book. I'm sick of Bill Clinton.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Turning our country over to the communists. And, amen. Little lily-livered, spineless, yellow-bellied moron ain't got enough backbone about him, bless God, to stand up. Amen. I'm telling you, gentlemen, hey, you can take either that flag or that flag. And I'm telling you that men have not only hazarded, but they've given their lives for both of them. Bless your heart. I'm ready to defend both of them unto the death. I want to say this morning, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian and I am an American.
That's
right. Sorry, devil. Somebody said, I voted for him. Stand up and tell me that, and I'll be the first to assassinate you. You ought to be assassinated and run off.
Oh, but Brother Hall, he so tremendously helped the country. He's helped our country. We've got the lowest employment rate, and we've got the best economy we've ever had. Yeah, the morals are down the tube, gentlemen. Amen. Holiness is gone. Morality's gone. Truth is gone. Right is gone. Amen.
I better move on. It's about time to quit, and I want to give Brother Smith plenty of time. Got about three more. May I say that the banners, gentlemen, they always mark some sort of a splendid procession. I'm talking about they're out in the lead. They are in the lead. For instance, our naval flagship, when she come back in, gentlemen, from the Persian Gulf, mark her now. That flagship, woo!
Yeah. Amen.
Let me just go back a little ways. When they rolled into what was that Japanese island? I've seen it years ago on the, when I had a TV, huh? Okinawa! Yes, sir, I've seen that old flagship rolling on to the midst of the battle. Carrying the red, white, and the blue, waving high, my friends. And behind that old flagship was destroyers, aircraft carriers, all kinds of naval fleets. What a glorious possession that was as that flagship led our boys into battle. But, oh, gentlemen, how much more glorious was it when that same old flagship saluted the shores and said, a job well done, turn around and we're going home. I want to say to you, that same old banner that has led the way into battle after battle, given victory after victory, will one day, my friend, lead the procession of the saints of God all the way to the shores of glory. We're not going home by. Woo! We are going home by. Yes, sir. Somebody said, you're just trying to make us feel good. Well, you're, thank God. I could be up here skinning your hide. You see, you're the bloody, you're blood and guts guy. You don't want nothing glorious. You want all the gory stuff. But I like the glory. Now I'm going to tell you what, you'd change your tune, gentlemen, if you wallowed in rice paddies for a year and 13 days. Watch your friends' legs get blown off, heads blown off. Huh? All that gory junk. I'm going to tell you what, somebody said, ah, I eat that stuff up. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I didn't run from it, but oh, when that big bird from Play Coo said, gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to make a stop in Japan, and from Japan, we are flying all the way to Oakland, California. Woo! Somebody said, was that a glorious procession? Well, I'll say this much. I didn't get too much of a welcome, son, when I got to Oakland. I mean, they just suited us up, give us a, told us we'd go get a steak and a glass of milk. I told them I wasn't interested in either one. I was interested in Underwood. Now, they wasn't no welcome committee sitting there waiting on me. But, gentlemen, when I pulled up in front of that little four-room house on Hall's Corner Road, just a half mile east of Highway 31 in Underwood, Indiana, and looked over out the door, and there was that old gray-headed mommy and daddy up there. Welcome home, son! We missed you, son. Oh, I'm glad you're home. Glad you made it. That's wonderful. But, gentlemen, I want to say to you that one of these days, yes, that same old banner,
yes,
that has led into battle and through the battle unto victory will also glorious lead us to home where not a gray-headed old man but the Ancient of Days in all of His glory shall welcome us into the eternal abode where we'll spend eternity in the presence of God when we'll lay our battles down, lay our crosses down. But the cross that enabled us to bear our cross will still throughout ages be proclaimed by the saints of God that it was by the cross that we have finally made it home.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Then I want to say that that flag waves over royal habitations. Drive to the White House, gentlemen, and see what banner is flinging over the White House. Drive to the United Nations, gentlemen, as much as I'm opposed to it, and find out how many banners they are waving over. I've just got a feeling that if there is a If there is a roof on the celestial city, now I don't know, it's going to be 15,000 miles wide, 15,000 miles long, 15,000 miles deep, 15,000 miles. That's going to be a big city, gentlemen.
Amen.
If it's got a roof, right in the center on the top.
Amen.
You're talking about a royal habitation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
The home of the King of Kings. But not only the home of the King of Kings, gentlemen, but a whole bunch of kings and priests.
Amen.
And then I'll close with this. Well, I'm going to say a couple of things, but this will be really the end of the message. Those banners also flew over our marked occasions of joy. If you was to go to the Mardi Gras, I wonder how many banners you'd see. Huh? Not that banner now. But they'd have their little streamers. Hey, you go to the football game, gentlemen. Go to the Wildcat game and see what you see.
Right.
Now, I will say this. I'm not prejudiced. Try not to be. But, gentlemen, it is a crying shame when a football and basketball team, let me just rephrase that, when a college will display more zeal and more joy over a rebel flag than what we do over the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Ole Miss is fighting a battle down there over the rebel flag. They've been accused of being haters of the blacks and prejudice and all this and get it out of the school. It represents something bad and all this. But, oh, I'm telling you, some of them down there have got a zeal for that flag. And they told them, said, you cannot wave that flag at this football game coming up this Saturday. You know what they did? They just concealed their little banners, their little Confederate flags under their clothes. And all at one shout, buddy, just about a particular time, they all come out. Woo! And thousands of them went up all over the auditorium. Hey, with great joy, and we come to the church house. Where the banner of the cross waves high, having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, been made a king and a priest, and sat on a stool of do-nothing with long faces, acting like that our grandma has moved in for an eternity, and all we've got to look forward to is her hell.
Right,
yeah.
You're right.
Go
ahead.
Now, let me run through that. I never did preach it. The outline. I want to show you the outline in these four verses, okay? The banner, we've got the cross. That's the cross. But it said we will set up a banners, and I'm not going into more of them. They said more than I had to preach on. But we will set it up in the name of our God. Not only do you have the cross, but you've got the commander. He leads the way, gentlemen. Is a commander. And notice, now look here. This psalm is being sung as they're going into battle. Notice the confidence that they have in the victory. There is a confidence. We will rejoice.
Amen.
Verse 5. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions.
Amen.
Verse 6. Now knoweth. What confidence. Hey, look at verse 7, look at verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand.
Amen.
What confidence there, gentlemen. Hey, and notice the consummation in verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. That's the consummation of it. They're brought down, and I believe I wrote this down. I wanted, the enemy falls, the saint rises. I wrote this down. The enemy was up, but now they're down. And the saints were down, but now they're up. I wanted last week, honestly, to preach out of that verse of Scripture on when God turns things around.
Amen.
Some trust in their horses and their chariots. You know who that reminds me of? Saddam Hussein. In 1991 or 92, whenever it was. Come on! Well, bless God, they come on.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he was up, but he was down. That's right. And then, hey, then there is the conclusion of the psalm in verse 9 when David said, "Say, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." He concludes the psalm with a dogmatic statement that the king will hear when we call, gentlemen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what a song. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you that have never been in the heat of the battle, and some of you think you have, but you ain't yet. When you get there, when the enemy assaults you, I didn't say insult. Anybody can take an insult. I said assault you. And you're on the receiving end of all of his artillery, gentlemen. You're going to understand this psalm much more clearly. I want to say this. I have learned in my preaching that there's been times that God's given me truths out of the Word of God, and 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, God has fulfilled that psalm or the truth of that psalm in my life. That's why Paul said you better give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, gentlemen.
Amen.
God's not a fool. God knows there's coming a time you're going to need what you hear here.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that? Yes, sir. And fellas, there's coming a time when the battle's going to rage.
Amen.
I was telling somebody just last week that as a boy growing up, I didn't say this part, but I'll throw it in. As a boy growing up, when I was playing Little League ball back in Bob Harbolt's cow pasture, we literally played in the cow pasture. That's all we had. Still had the cows in it, by the way. But when I played ball back there, and a young teenager growing up, trying to chase girls and be macho, I never dreamed that there'd ever come a time in my life when I'd be under an enemy attack and literally fighting for my very life. But in 1966, I saw that literally come to pass. I told some of them last week that I had laid close enough to 500-pound bombs being dropped that the ground tremored underneath my body. And I've heard and seen the enemy gunfire. And believe you me, when it starts coming unexpectedly, you don't mind eating a little dust and getting down in the dirt. And when the battle comes to you, and it will sometime down the road as a Christian,
amen,
you will not mind humbling yourself,
yes, sir,
getting low and eating a little dirt,
right,
if you can get underneath the enemy's attack, gentlemen. Hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because it's coming. It's coming. And you may not need it today, but there'll come a day in your life and you'll say, "Boy, I'm glad, thank God. Old Brother Hall, they said that the banner of the cross was leading the march. I'm glad Jesus is up there leading the battle." Can I say this to you in closing? I should have mentioned it a minute ago. It's not mine. Miss Hall read it to me out of a little old booklet that Brother Mike Jacobs or Bobby Jacobs one gave to her from the feed store down there. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Gentlemen, when I said a while ago that he, the bearer, took the banner and led the way, do you know in times of war, years ago, that the commanders marked themselves to be distinguished from their troops and got out in the front of the battle and led the battle? For instance, get this. Caesar, I want everybody here now, Caesar wanted to mark himself as the leader of his troops to the point that when entering battle, he would always wear a red cape to identify himself and would get out in the forefront of the battle and lead his troops into battle. You talk about encouragement. But here's the one that just about got me. That thing went on to read and said that General Patton was such a profound reader and lover of Caesar Augustus
that he read where Caesar painted, wore a red robe into battle, and General Patton, gentlemen, painted his tank red to distinguish it from the rest of the troops and led his troops into battle with a red tank. Wonder where Slick Willie would find himself. Certainly not in a red tank out in front of the battle, gentlemen. A pink one in the back, maybe. But not a red one in the front. God, let's mark our colors, gentlemen. Follow the commander. He's leading the way.